Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, a ministry of ground up grace, where the daily message frees you for forgiven living.
Freedom for forgiven living is grounded at the cross, where Jesus takes all your sins upon himself and gives you, in exchange, his abounding grace. Let's listen together and see where his grace frees us today.
Today is Sunday, May 22nd. The Old Testament verse is from Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. I will bring them through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them.
And from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, in this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Well, thank you, Rick and Gordon. We're so thankful that we three can be together to share in these verses today. What do we see in these verses? Well, we see these contrasting words of suffering various trials and being tested by fire to even rejoicing. How do we find joy in the midst of suffering? Is it possible to welcome trials with cheerfulness and rejoicing? How do we get through grief? How do we get through sorrow? And so these are the thoughts that we're thinking of today, and we realize that the hymn for the day also goes right along with these themes and finding peace like a river. The refrain of this hymn is, "It is well, it is well, it is well with my soul." At what point are we able to come to that conclusion that we've come through suffering and can say, "It is well with my soul"? It's so comforting to realize that my soul is well because of what Jesus endured for me. In Psalm 31, verse 7, it says, "I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you see my affliction. You know my distress. You've not shut me up in the power of the evil one, but you've set my feet in an open place." And that place is a place of well-being. And now it's possible to say, "It is well with my soul. I have peace." What were some of your reflections on this, Rika?
There is such hope in this, especially in the first verse. We may not understand why we suffer, but to know that the Lord is always working through our suffering, refining us, mm-hmm. testing us, but he's with us during this testing.
Yeah.
And we call on the name of the Lord, and he promises to answer. It's just, I guess it leaves me with such hope, as well as the New Testament verse, that this suffering says for a little while, even, and there could be lots of different kinds of suffering, various times during our lives, but it's temporary. We rejoice that God works through that and knows our faith and knows our mind and our heart and gives us help and encouragement through other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it almost sounds like the suffering is, though it's going to happen, and we're assured of, is somewhat temporary. But there are times, like the hymn that you're going to explain today, Horatio Spafford and his family endured such a tragedy that lasted forever because they lost four daughters as that boat went down in the ocean. And I don't think you can recover from that. You go on, but you never forget the trauma. It's the faith in 1 Peter that I really believe it gives us the cause at some point to lift up praise and then give glory to God, the one who is the one who's able to to pull you forward out of that suffering, that pain, and move you to a new day.
Yeah. Well, suffering and joy are two things that are really a paradox. How can we have joy in our suffering? It's only possible because we understand that this is going to result only in praise to Jesus. And we think about even Jesus didn't want to drink that cup of suffering. He said, please, Lord, please take it away from me. He had enough understanding of what he was going to have to endure and go through. And I know of another friend of mine who struggled with severe cancer treatment and everything. And she had such a contentment about her throughout this time. I know there were difficult times, but she said, I'm going to use this time of testing to give God glory in my whole life. And that was her privilege, she said, a privilege to give God glory through my suffering. So how do we welcome trials? How do we welcome these things that come upon us?
Yeah, with joy.
With joy and cheerfulness and exceeding rejoicing.
I don't know if anyone, maybe I'm wrong here, but I don't know of anyone that I've ever heard who has said they awaken every morning and look in the mirror and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me another day to suffer to the maximum. I think it's a lot of, we say a lot of things when we look in that mirror, but probably it's, oh my God.
Maybe it's more of a serenity, holding that joy in one hand and the suffering in the other, and you know that it's going to be both and. I've been facing some other very sad experiences for people, and also many rejoicing. So it is a time to mourn and a time to dance, as Ecclesiastes states. But joy comes in the morning, as the psalmist writes. It helped me a lot the other day reading Psalm 77. And just to understand, you know, God can handle our replies to him, that our cries of, hey, why are you taking this grace away from me? And right. That was helpful for me this week in the daily text, to how to get through these times of suffering. Well, in this hymn, we're going to tie a few of these things together now. When Peace Like a River. Okay, Rika, tell us about the hymn.
The watchword for this sixth Sunday of Easter is from John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. So we have the word peace, and what better hymn that has peace in it is When Peace Like a River. We love to sing this hymn, but the tragedy that surrounded the borning of this hymn is amazing. Horatio Spafford is the author of the hymn. He was born in 1828, lived in Chicago as an attorney. In this time when he was in Chicago, they lost all kinds of money because of a bad deal in real estate. And then at that time, his four-year-old son died of scarlet fever. So that was the beginning. And throwing all of his grief into his work, He helped to rebuild the city that had burned. This was the big, great Chicago fire time as well. He assisted 100,000 who had been left homeless. And then in 1873, he decided that he and his wife and daughters would go to Europe to follow D.L. Moody. He was a pastor and an evangelist, and he really wanted to visit with their ministry in England and then have a vacation. But an urgent matter detained Horatio from taking the ship to England. So he stayed back, and his wife and four daughters went on ahead. They had a very luxurious French liner called Ville du Havre, and he was a little uneasy about sending them, but he thought, no, he needed to let them go. He said goodbye, and he promised to join them soon. November 22nd, 1873, this ship glided over smooth seas, but they were jolted from their bunks. They collided with another ship. Water poured in to enter the ship like Niagara Falls. The ship tilted dangerously. Screams, prayers, and oaths merged into a nightmare of unmeasured terror. Passengers clung to posts, tumbled through darkness, and were swept away by powerful currents of icy ocean. Loved ones fell from each other's grasp and disappeared into foaming blackness. Within 2 hours, the mighty ship vanished beneath the waters. The 226 fatalities included his four daughters, Maggie, Tanetta, Annie, and Bessie. Mrs. Spafford was found nearly unconscious, clinging to a piece of the wreckage. Hmm. When the 47 survivors landed in Cardiff, Wales, she cabled her husband, saved alone. Horatio immediately booked passage to join his wife. En route on a cold December night, the captain called him aside and said, "I believe we are now passing over the place where the ship went down." Spafford went to his cabin, but found it hard to sleep. He said to himself, "It is well. The will of God be done." He later wrote his famous hymn based on those words.
Wow.
But that's not the end of the story. Horatio and his wife just started over. You know, I'm sure they had a long period of grief. I can't imagine going through this. But they ended up going to Jerusalem. She had more children. They started the American colony in Jerusalem and had a whole new life. From all of that terrible tragedy, something good came, and the Lord used, maybe he was refining his faith. I don't know, but that's a hard way to refine faith, I guess, in the fire.
What a story. It reminds me of the Titanic. But this has such a powerful outcome. How many people have been helped by this hymn?
That's right. Yeah. It's sung at funerals. It's sung at very special events. It's a very tender, hits home with people. It's so personal.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that in today's age, it's so evident that it's the suffering, the tragedies that define people and become their legacy. The tragedy did not define this family.
Yes.
The tragedy gave an open door to a new life, which God then directed them, and they also persevered, had more family, mm-hmm. and God anointed them for greater things. Pretty amazing.
It is. That's so good, Gordy. I realize that, you know, that he also gives glory to Christ in that
mm-hmm.
in that third verse about the sin being nailed to the cross. And then he says, praise the Lord, oh my soul, because Jesus has taken this and shed his own blood for my soul. It's just so powerful. And then we talk about waking up in the morning and not being able to understand what's going on in our lives. And Rica, you mentioned sometimes you feel like there's a cloud over your head. Well, here in the last verse, the clouds are going to be opened, rolled back, and the trumpets will sound, and then your faith will be sight. It's like everything will make sense at that point, if it really matters.
mm-hmm.
But it's such a powerful hymn of encouragement for faith to be your mainstay throughout all the rumblings and tumblings and ups and downs of life.
Right.
Well, I'm very thankful that we had this hymn today and these this great watchword. This is one that we all need, the peace that Christ gives us, not as the world gives, but as he leaves with us.
I think we should sing a couple verses of this hymn, When Peace Like a River.
Mm-hmm.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for.
And the prayer for today, O Jesus, you promise to answer if we call upon your name. We are strangers living in a strange land, and our world continues to change daily before our eyes. The genuineness of our faith is being tested by fire. Give us strength to fight the good fight so that we may honor you. Amen. Whatever your daily grind may be, know that you are grounded in the grace of Jesus Christ.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.